Well, hello everybody. We are on the Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 29A, and we're dealing with the paths of higher evolution. We have completed our discussion of five of the paths. There are two more to go, and actually there are nine, but of eight and nine, which are recently added, DK let us know, in the 1940s, nothing is said. So, but I do think that there is a connection between them and the two parents of the Pleiades, which are known as Atlas the father and Pleione or Pleione the mother, and that each one of the other paths is somehow connected with the seven other Pleiades. I wonder if I can remember what they are. Alcyone, Maia, Merope, Asterope, Electra, Seleno, Taygete. And the Asterope and Sterope are a double. I'm connecting them at the moment with the fourth ray, but we shall see what the actual truth of the matter is. We're beginning with initiation human and solar, and we're beginning to discuss paths that are of great elevation. We're told that on the path of the solar logoi there are not so many traveling monads. But since on and I think we're told something similar for the path of absolute sonship, but when you think that the path of magnetic work leads directly to the path of absolute sonship, and that many go on the path of absolute on the path of magnetic work, then you would wonder how it is that there would be not more traveling on the path of absolute sonship, unless, of course, well, paths 2 and 4 are related. So you would wonder why it might not be possible to transfer from the second path to the fourth path to Sirius, since they both have such a strong connection. Of course, there are monads with high monastic quality transferred to the path of magnetic work, and that is not needed by those who tread the path of Sirius. Due to Sirius, do not need the monastic stimulation. So maybe that is the reason. But if some of them are not shunted off to the path to Sirius or some other path, then it seems that a great number would tread the way to the path of absolute sonship. And we're I think we're told that there are many, or at least it's implied that there are many who tread the path of magnetic work. Well, all of the interchanges between the paths are not something that we can get a handle on at this time. We've been told that the first path connects with the sixth, that the second with the seventh, the third with the fifth, but at the time we were told that the third path of the planetary logoi moves to the fifth, we were not told that there is a reciprocity by which the fifth can move to the third. And then in that particular sequence, the fourth path was left by itself. So there were finally four paths rather than seven. DK said he could not tell us the time at which the four did appear, although it might be sometime, I would suppose, in the progress of our solar logos, at some point in his progress during the solar system. Now, we were also told about relationships between the paths, that 1 and 7 were related. Those on path 1 of Earth's service fight their way onto path number 6, but in terms of the relationship, 1 and 7 are related. 2 and 4 are related. Naturally enough, 3 and 5. So 1 and 7 was the deviation. And this is leaving path six by itself in that particular listing. And path six is exactly the path we're going to study, however superficially that may be, at this time. So this is the path the Logos himself is on, and I sometimes call it, you know, the call it the path of the Solar Logoi. Now, maybe other Solar Logoi are directed differently, but it seems they go to the cosmic Buddhic plane. Path of the Solar Logoi. So, we're going to have to check this as to why it might not be the case. Oh, everything seems to be in order. Maybe path of the planetary logo. Yeah, that's good. Okay. So this might be path of the solar logos. There we go, solar logo. All right. So what little he can tell us about this path, we will do our best to understand. We have seen how difficult it can be to understand some of these archaic stanzas. And also, maybe, what he says to us in the preamble to the archaic stanzas, found really in three books, Initiation, Human and Solar, and A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and even though the material on From the Rays and the Initiations was issued after letting us know about the archaic stanzas, we can still consider them to be preamble accordingly. It will have become apparent to all occult students who have studied with care the world processes in the light of the law of correspondences that the Logos on the cosmic planes is evolving inner cosmic vision. Now, in what sense is he on the cosmic planes? His higher principles are found on the cosmic planes, cosmic planes. The cosmic astral for his astral body, the cosmic mental for his lower mental body and higher mental body, cosmic buddhic for his buddhic body, probably not yet coordinated as he is not that high an initiate, although I suppose since he is an astral buddhic solar initiate, the buddhic body will be rapidly coordinated. I think that some, if the analogy holds good, from the human being, that there is some coordination of the Buddhic vehicle during the time after the second initiation, and the Solar Logos has taken his second initiation. Then there's his cosmic atmic body, and we would expect that that will not be immediately coordinated. He has not yet achieved cosmic mental polarization, whatever that can mean to us. These are words, of course. And he has not yet taken the third cosmic initiation. So the Logos on the cosmic planes is evolving inner cosmic vision. We might say that his third eye is opening slowly and will be more fully opened at the time of the third cosmic initiation. Just as man in his lesser degree is aiming at the same vision in the system. This is called for man, this is called by the words divine vision, and is connected with the fifth subplane from the top, or third from the bottom, of the Buddhic plane. And if we were to go, for instance, to Treatise on Cosmic Fire and turn to page 188, and we would see, looking at this table of correspondences of the senses, that divine vision is found here on the Buddhic plane, following comprehension, healing, and, yes, following those two, leading to intuition. Because, in other words, let's just say vision is not revelation. Vision precedes revelation. This might be called the development of the cosmic third eye. It's always nice if an idea comes to you which is confirmed shortly. But you never know about cryptomnesia. I think they call it, you know, you've read something, you don't know you've read it, or you don't remember you've read it, and suddenly it comes to you as if it's your own idea, when in fact you have read it. This might be called the development of the cosmic third eye. In the physical plane structure of the eye lies hid the secret, and in its study may come some revelation of the mystery. And in the University of Seven Rays, some of our students have studied the third eye correspondentially. I think there's a very good paper on this by Dr. Danielle Vecchio, and maybe it can be made available. It was written out some time ago, but she was very meticulous and has the fifth ray to study the eye. The fifth ray, in some ways, is a fifth ray. The eye is, in some way, a fifth ray organ. So we have, you know, the cornea and the iris and the pupil. And they do correspond respectively to the third, second, and third ray. Kind of interesting how the iris will adjust and will at times tighten to close out light or dilate to let more light in under circumstances where the light is very faint. It's kind of this adaptable process of the adaptable process of the second ray as it adjusts and transforms and modulates the amount of light admitted. Of course, the true being seems to be the true pupil in the area of blackness. It is the one who registers all that is allowed to be in. And the cornea, I guess, is that correct? Let me just see, the eyeball. I better make sure of that. I will do it this way. So we'll go to cornea, because I think the white of the eyeball may not be called that. The cornea is the transparent front part of the eye. It covers the iris, pupil, and the anterior chamber. The cornea with the Sandy chamber and lens refracts light. So maybe we're just talking about the eyeball itself and the white of the eye. It covers the iris, the pupil, and the anterior chamber. Let's just see the white of the eye. Let's see what that gives us. The white of the eye is a... no, we don't want that. Scleros means hard, also known as the white of the eye. It is the opaque fibrous protective outer layer of the eye. So let's call it that. We have three factors there, and then the cornea, which is more the covering of all of this. So we have white of the eye, which is a third aspect. We have the iris, second aspect, and the pupil, who is the real being, first aspect of divinity. A certain part of the eye is the nucleus of sight, and the apparent and the apparatus of vision itself. I wonder, why is he talking about the eyes now? Why talk about the eye? Is it because every solar logos is really an eye in some way? All right, a certain part of the eye is the nucleus of sight and the apparatus of vision itself. The remainder of the eye acts as a protecting shell, and I suppose this is the... we looked up the white of the eye, and now if we were to look up the cornea again, cornea from Wikipedia, is the transparent front part of the eye that covers the iris, pupil, and the anterior chamber. The cornea, anterior chamber, forward and posterior, forward chamber. The cornea with the anterior chamber and lens refracts light. And the cornea accounting for approximately two-thirds of the eye's total optical power. In humans, the refractive power of the cornea is approximately 43 diopters, while the cornea of most of the eye's focusing power, its focus is mixed. The curvature of the lens, on the other hand, can be adjusted to tune the focus depending upon the object's distance and so forth. Looks like here we have the picture. Okay, here's the eyeball, here's the lens, here's the protective cornea, and so forth. One wants to sort of copy the image. And let's see if we can put it in here. All right, there it is. So we have the, and the pupil of the eye is not shown here, perhaps, maybe a little bit here. And the an outer covering here, the sclera, but this is, the cornea is, transparent. Yes, okay. And then the white of the eye, the pupil and the iris. So a certain part of the eye is the nucleus of sight and the apparent and the apparatus of vision itself. And both parts are required, and neither can exist without the other. So in this greater case, only the analogy exists. So it is in this greater case, I suppose it means. Only analogy exists on such high levels that words can only blur and dim the truth. So the nucleus of sight, I suppose the optic nerve is involved. Certain of the sons of men, a nucleus, again, you see, I suppose he's telling us something about their position, who reached a very high initiation in the previous solar system, formed an esoteric group around the Logos when he decided for further progress. Okay, well, there is oops, not that, no. Okay. Let's take a look. There are some very abstruse things here, said here, and we can see what we can learn. There is a group surrounding the solar logos. There is a group which I have called the Solar Kumaras. And they are the correspondences, they are the three persons of the Logoic Trinity and the correspondences to the three esoteric Buddhas of activity on the planetary level. But these are sons of men who have reached this high initiation in a previous solar system. And these other beings of whom I'm speaking of could never have reached their status in the previous solar system. They certainly, no son of man could have ever reached the status at which they are now. In consequence, he formed a system, cosmic desire for incarnation driving him on. This esoteric group remains with the Logos on the atomic or first plane of the system. Okay, so in other words, on the Logoic plane, where presumably his etheric head center, okay, etheric anyway, head center can be found. On the first plane, or the first plane of the system, on the subjective side, and it corresponds in an occult sense to the pupil of the eye, which is that which registers impact and through which the light is allowed by the iris. The real home of these great entities is upon the cosmic Buddhic plane. Oh, that's extraordinary. And yet, they have expression on the atomic level of the cosmic physical plane. Now, the cosmic Buddhic plane is interesting. Or let's just put it like this. It is interesting that the cosmic Buddhic plane is mentioned here, as that is the destination of those upon the path of the solar logoi. That is the destination. And the only group, really, it's the only group on the path that, let's see, what do I want to do here? I want to sign out. I want to quit Skype. Okay. That's the only group whose efforts take them, I presume, over a very long period of time to the cosmic Buddhic plane. All the others are involved in the cosmic mental plane or the cosmic astral plane as their destination. So this esoteric group remains with the Logos on the... Now this is kind of interesting because he's calling them sons of men. So what does it mean that the real home of these great entities? Let's see what this. Certain of the sons of men, a nucleus who reached a very high initiation in the previous thought, could they have been actually, I mean, is he speaking of human beings? Really, because how could any human being reach the cosmic Buddhic plane? A human being, and that would be higher than the solar angels altogether. The solar angels probably reached the cosmic astral plane, or the human beings who became solar angels reached the cosmic astral plane. So were these, in some way, those who were on the path of the solar logoi in the previous solar system? Okay. Were these sons of men, the ones who were on the path of the solar logoi in the previous solar system? A nucleus who reached a very high initiation in the previous solar system, and we don't know what that was, but we do have the idea that apparently high initiations were possible. We can put that in. Were possible in the previous solar system, formed an esoteric group around the Logos when he decided upon further progress. It's almost like they achieved, it is almost as if they achieved extra planetary initiations or extra planetary status. The group of the solar Kumaras, well, you know, just as our Buddhas of activity were planetary logoi in the previous solar system, you kind of wonder about these solar Kumaras, whether in some way they were not, what I say, solar logoi in the previous solar system, and making a sacrifice to assist the solar logos. So anyway, in consequence, apparently, of this association, he formed this system, Cosmic Desire driving him on, and this esoteric group remains with the logos on the atomic or the first plane of the system. And when you look at the first plane of the system, what you see are three beings there. You see the three persons of the Trinity. This is the logoic plane. So the question is, how high an initiation did they reach, and what did they become? We might ask ourselves, on what path did they journey? On what cosmic path? Okay, it'll be in cosmic. Did they journey? Because anyway, they have now an association with the solar logos in this next solar system. So this esoteric group remains with the Logos on the atomic or first plane of the system, on the subjective inner side. And I suppose we could say that the logoic plane certainly is subjective and inner, at least in cosmic physical terms, and it corresponds in an occult sense to the pupil of the eye. And it, this group, corresponds to the pupil of the eye. And we could say, you know, we could look here, maybe, and we could say something like this, function of the pupil of the eye, of the, let's see, pupil of the eye. Let's see what happens. In optical terms, the anatomical pupil is the eye's aperture, and the iris is the, what is it? And the iris of the eye, and it is the iris of the eye. The pupil is a hole located in the center of the iris of the eye and allows light to enter the retina. It appears black because light rays entering the pupil are either absorbed by the tissues inside the eye directly or absorbed after diffuse reflections within the eye that mostly miss exciting the narrow pupil. In humans, the pupil is round, but that is significant. But in other species, such as some cats, they have a vertical slit pupil. Goats have horizontally oriental pupils, and some catfish have annular types, I suppose ring types. In optical terms, the anatomical pupil is the eye's aperture, and the iris is the aperture stop. The image of the pupil is, as seen from outside the eye, is the entrance pupil, which does not exactly correspond to the location and size of the physical pupil, because it is magnified by the cornea, which is that transparent lens. On the inner edge lies a prominent structure of the collarette, making the junction of the embryonic pupillary membrane covering the embryonic pupil. Okay, well, I guess really we need to study this. I think, you know, this sort of fifth ray, second ray structure that we call the eye will hold many revelations for us. All right, I'm going to put this in. Embryonic pupil, P-U-P-I-L. Okay, there we go. Entities and the real home of these great entities upon the cosmic Buddhic plane. Well, what do we mean by home? What do we mean by home? And I just have to ask that, because the word home is interesting. And let's just see. The real home of these entities. Okay, so what do we mean by home? Now, we're told that Venus is the home of the planetary logos of the sixth ray, that Uranus is the home of electric fire. And when the word home is used, we might tend to think, well, we have to deal with the monad. Now, what I did say earlier was that different types of monads may have their home on the monadic plane of the cosmic planes. So, what if the word home means the location of the monad? For modern man, it is the monadic plane of the cosmic physical plane. But what if there are beings of so high a nature who were yet sons, okay, sons of men in the previous solar system, who worked their monad to the point where its home became the cosmic physical plane, the cosmic Buddhic plane. Maybe that's what home means. I have difficulty thinking that there could be Well, let's see. Could there be a group of high initiates who form the pupil of the eye? Yes, it is possible. The pupil of the eye for the solar logos. This group would only be a functional pupil of the eye in a much vaster being, the solar logos. Yeah. So it sounds like they made tremendous progress, just as if we look at those upon the path of the solar logoi. Well, it's going to take a long time to get there, but eventually their focus will be on the cosmic Buddhic plane. We are shown that. I think maybe you remember, but I'll try to see if I can find this. Sirius cosmic astral plane. Well, there's only going to be a few of these, so we should be able to find it. Oh, there it is. There it is. Page 399. The path of Earth service leads to the cosmic astral plane. Ah, how interesting. But it leads first to the cosmic astral plane, and only then to other planes, and finally onto the cosmic mental plane. But what's interesting here is to see that when certain paths lead to the cosmic mental plane, they may in fact have a temporary focus on the cosmic, let me say that again. If they lead to the cosmic mental plane, they may find a temporary focus on the cosmic astral plane. Magnetic work leads to the cosmic astral plane, but thence to the cosmic mental plane. And the path of Earth service leads to the cosmic Buddhic plane after the cosmic astral plane, apparently. Does it stop on the cosmic mental? We don't know. But they fight their way onto the path of the solar logoi. And that path leads to the cosmic Buddhic plane. The path for training for planetary logoi leads to the higher levels of the cosmic mental plane, and I believe that is significant because it kind of suggests that maybe some of the lower levels are the target or the destination of some others of these paths. The ray path leads to the path to Sirius cosmic astral plane, even though Sirius itself is on the cosmic mental plane. The ray path to the cosmic mental plane, it doesn't say to the higher levels of. The path to the logos to the cosmic Buddhic plane, and that's what we're dealing with now. And the path of absolute sonship to the cosmic mental plane. Okay, so we're dealing with the idea of the eye, and what might be the cosmic function of the eye, and what might be the relationship of the solar logos to the eye, and we have to ask ourselves here. Okay. Here we go. So does the eye have a special function on this sixth path? Okay, a special function. Gradually, let's see, how much? Not so much, really. Gradually, by dint of hard effort, certain masters have qualified themselves or are qualifying themselves to take the place of the original members of the group from the previous solar system, permitting of their return to a cosmic center around which our system and the greater system of Sirius revolve. Oh, I have to, you know, to me, this seems to me to be the Pleiades. Because around the Pleiades, our solar system is said to revolve. We have to prove that scientifically somehow. And since Sirius is so close to our solar system, only 8 light years away, a negligible quantity, I mean virtually in the same area, well, yeah, let's see, how would that be? Sirius and our sun would always have to be quite contiguous in space. We cannot imagine that Sirius would be on the other side. It would be too far away. So there is a certain contiguity of these certain stars that stick together and would revolve around, so it seems, the Pleiades, more or less, during the same period. A period is the time taken in one revolution. Only one adept here and there has the necessary qualifications, for it involves a certain type of response to cosmic vibrations. So, and this is the group which forms the, how does he call it? The pupil of the eye? I think he says that. The pupil of the eye. And we're not told how many are in this particular group. One wonders whether it's, you know, something like six or seven. One thinks of the jewel in the lotus, and one wonders about the pupil of the eye. And matter of fact, I think I'd like to say that. Is the jewel in the lotus like the pupil in the eye? Only one adept here and there has the necessary qualifications, for it involves some certain type of response to cosmic vibration. I suppose, in a way, response to cosmic light. It means specializing in the inner sight and the development of a certain measure of cosmic vision. Now, a cosmic vision could be related if divine vision is found upon the systemic Buddhic plane, then maybe, and I think you know where I'm going with this, cosmic vision is found upon the subplane levels of the cosmic Buddhic plane. Oh, cosmic Buddhic plane. More of the Deva evolution passed to this path than do the human. So Deva's work in groups, you know. Deva's work in groups, and in groups I speculate that they become Solar Logoi. Human beings pass to it via the Deva evolution, which can be entered by transference to the fifth path, the Ray path. Now, of course, Christ is on that Ray path now, and many of the masters of the wisdom take the Ray path. On this latter path, the two evolutions can merge, and from the fifth path, the sixth can be entered. All right, this is important, and we also know that those on the path of earth service fight their way forward until they are treading the path of the Solar Logoi. But also from the fifth path, which can be approached via the third, the path of the Solar Logoi can be entered. So it's a bit like this for the Planetary Logoi, right? Planetary Logoi to the Ray path, to the path of the Solar Logoi. Path of the Solar Logar. Yeah, there we go. Well, one day we'll have to draw out these different means of transfer. I wondered whether it makes sense to think that the planetary logoi who are being trained by a solar logos might be able to go directly from the third to the sixth path, as the numbers are so numerically resonant. But we're being told, at least, that there is a stopover, as it were, onto the fifth path, or the ray path, for those planetary logoi who are going to become solar logoi. So more devas of high degree become solar logoi and grand heavenly men, as it were. So let's put that down. Devas of high degree can become solar logoi. And this we have to bear in mind for the destiny of the devas. And so the Christ is on the ray path now. One possibility, of course, would be that he could transfer to the path of planetary logoi, or he could maybe go directly to the path of the solar logoi, or from the ray path. Or he could go to Sirius. We could say this, that from the ray path, it must be possible to go to Sirius, because the Christ is now on the ray path, or will be taking it shortly, and intends to move into the sphere of influence of Sirius. This is what the Tibetan tells us, that no matter where his cosmic travels may take him, it is to Sirius that he will go. As a matter of fact, I suppose, let's take a look at the exact warning. Christ, no matter where, Sirius. Oh, no, there must be. Well, let's see. No matter where, Sirius. Or to what? No matter to what. Christ, Sirius. Where? No matter. Okay. So we'll get out of from Bethlehem to Calvary, because we know that she did not work on that. And it'll be later. Okay. Well, maybe it's not going to be Christ. Maybe it's going to be the great Lord. But Lord, Sirius, matter where? No matter, no. Well, it exists. I'll tell you that. I know that for sure. Okay. Well, here's why it was difficult to find the word Syrian was there instead of Sirius. The Syrian influence was not recognized, and little of it was definitely focused in the hierarchy until Christ came and revealed the love of God to humanity. He is the expression par excellence of a Syrian initiation. I suspect, working on the third, or the transfiguration initiation of Sirius. And it is to that high place he will eventually go, no matter what other duties or hierarchical obligations may take him elsewhere between that time and now. It talks about the Buddha was to have taken this path. But, Christ, I wonder if we have here Christ Ray Path. Maybe. There would be a better way to do it. But I think we, okay. Probationary path. Okay. Over which the Christ presides. Very portal of, and you can choose any path. The masters and still higher initiates, such as the Christ, can choose any path which makes its appeal, in such a manner that complete rightness is registered in the initiates, consciousness. Okay. And here we have that interesting statement. This is about the force and the pole star. It's a treatise on cosmic fire, 1263. It is Aquarius. It is one of the agencies which make the coming of the great Lord a possibility. He is himself upon the fifth path. There it is. Just as the manu is upon the third, and hence the close link between these paths, for those on the fifth path can pass to the third and vice versa. All right, so the Christ is on the right path, and it would be possible for him to pass to the path of the planetary logoi if he chose, but here we're learning that it's possible to enter the sixth path from the fifth, and I presume that since the path to Sirius is the path that the Christ will take, one wonders if he will not eventually be on the path of the solar logoi and could pass then back to the fifth path and then on to the sixth. Of course, four and six are, in a way, resonant numbers, even numbers. We don't know what the future destiny of the Christ will be. We also don't know what paths can be reached from the fourth path. One would suspect that the path of the planetary logoi can be reached because groups of solar petries can make a planetary logos. So from the fourth path back to our solar system or some other solar system and thence to path number three, breathed out from the sun. Then from three one can go to five, and from five one can go to six. But there may be more direct routes depending upon the status of the monad in question. All right. So I hope I was clear about that. And very interesting about the human beings. If human beings want to be on the path number six, which is of the solar logoi, they can enter by transference to the fifth path, the ray path. So this is interesting that if some human beings wish to pass onto the path of the solar logoi, they can do so via the ray path. And, of course, they can do this from the path of the, how about that? Are my capitals locked? Maybe they are. Ray path. All right. So they can pass, I suppose, maybe go to the second path and thence to the ray path. Or they can certainly go to the third path of the planetary logoi, thence to the ray path, thence to path number six. But first, before entering path six, now what is the trouble here? Path six, they can move to the Deva evolution, from which, apparently, it is easier to pass to path six. So, in other words, from path five to the Deva evolution, from path five to the Deva, evolution, to path six. This is a way to go. On this latter path, which is path six, the two evolutions can merge just as they merge on the plane of the monad. As they merge on the plane of the monad. See, there are different mergings that occur at different times, I think. And when we talk about merging, there may be a hint there. Because it has been my impression, once I read that solar petries do not individually become solar logoi, but in their groups they do, it seems that it is possible to emerge in such a way that groups of men and groups of solar angels become together solar logoi. I think it might be helpful to make some propositions here. So we might say, from path 1 to path 6, but first to the cosmic astral plane, and then eventually to the cosmic buddhic plane, but must the cosmic mental plane be, as it were, crossed? Sometimes there are leaps, but maybe there is a crossing on the way to the cosmic buddhic plane. From path 2, definitely to path 7, but there is a close connection between path 2 and path 4. So is there any interchange? And by resonance, since so many fifth ray monads go to path 2, might they transfer onto the fifth path? Which is the ray path, and from thence to the deva evolution, or to the path of planetary logoi, path of planetary logoi. Well, I know what it is. Path of the planetary logoi. There we go. Path of the planetary logoi. And from thence to the deva evolution, or to the path of planetary logoi, or to path 6 of solar logoi. I'm trying to see what these different lines must be. From path 3 of planetary logoi, it is possible to move to path 5. But from path 5, one can enter the deva evolution and become a solar logos. Okay. From path 4 to Sirius, one can pass to path 3 of planetary logoi. And I would say in groups of solar petries. From path 3, one can also pass to, let's get this right. From path 3, one can pass to path 5, the ray path, and enter the deva evolution, pass to the path of the solar logoi. Now, path of solar logoi. Okay, there's got to be a way to do that. And I'm not sure exactly what that is, but let's take a look here. Path of the solar logoi. Yeah, so this is the path of the solar logoi. So from path 4, we can reach the path of the solar logoi. We do not know whether one can reach path seven, from path six. Okay, so the Syrian path then gives quite some opportunity either to reach, to become the planetary logoi, or to enter onto the ray path, or to enter onto the Devic path, and there's probably, once having been to Sirius, there's quite a Devic connection, and thence onto the solar logoi. That's also possible. Now, there must be some lines that will take us to absolute sonship, and I wonder, coming up here, from path 5 to path, there we go, to path 3 of planetary logoi. Or maybe to path, well, not maybe, or to the path of solar logoi, path of the solar logoi, either directly or through the Deva evolution, or maybe directly from path 5 to path 7. They both require higher mathematics, and monastic types go there. The karmic lords, those who study the astrophysics, the advanced cosmical physicists of the present time, they can find themselves on path 7, but path 5 is also a highly mathematical path. I mean, once one was on path 5, one can also go to Sirius. Once on path 5, it is also, possible to go onto path 4. One would not think so. But the Christ is doing so, or will do so, we are told. He will eventually go to Sirius, no matter what other duties may claim his attention in other places. From path 6, who knows? From path 7, who knows? But we do have paths 8 and 9 recently opened to humanity, and maybe there is a passage to those paths from path 6 or path 7. All right, well, I think we have enough here to give us an idea, just the idea here, just reviewing. Cosmic vision is being developed. Cosmic vision is having to do with the fifth ray. And I want to just say, once I'm sure I have a bracket, related to the fifth ray and the Buddhic plane. So just as man is achieving vision here, and the cosmic third eye seems to be involved, what are the three centers which have to open up for the man? Well, what three centers open up for the monad, we might say, as he treads this path on which cosmic vision is developed? DK is hesitant here to get too much into it, because on the higher levels, or in relation to the higher levels, the words only blur the truths. Certain of the sons of men took a very high initiation in the previous solar system, and now serve the solar logos as the pupil of his eye. This esoteric group remains with the logos on the first plane of the system, the logoic plane, and it corresponds in the occult sense to the pupil of the eye. Just, okay. The real home, and I'm wondering, is it a monadic home? Because don't forget that as you start to tread paths from various solar systems, your monad goes onto other planes. And of course, there is a cosmic Buddhic aspect as well to our solar logos. Did certain of these entities transfer the position of their monad onto the cosmic Buddhic plane? That's our question. Okay. Here's a bit about the pupil of the eye, etc. Buddhi is a type of sight, you know. The Buddhi is a type of intuitive... let's try that. No, intuitive. I-N-T-I-N-T-V. I think I'm going to write that in. I-N-T-V. And we'll call that intuitive. And that would be good. So Buddhi is a kind of intuitive sight. And think of the cosmic Buddhic plane. In relation to those on this path. Certain masters are qualifying themselves to take the place in the pupil of the eye of the solar logos. How many are required? We don't know. Permitting of their return to a cosmic center around which our system and the greater system of Sirius involved. There, these masters or these high... initiates from the previous solar system can return to the Pleiades, as far as we can see, around which our system and the greater system of Sirius revolve. Unless it's around something we call Heaven's Pivot, which might be the Great Bear, but we do know that our system is said to revolve around the Pleiades, and then why not Sirius? Only one adept here and there has the qualifications to become the pupil in the eye of the I think it is. Does look like the logos? Yes, the yes, yes. Form an esoteric group around the logos. We decided upon. I think it's the it is the solar logos quite clearly. All right. Now only certain masters can do this. The qualifications are very high. When we talk about the sixth path. More of the Deva evolution pass on to this path than the human. So human beings pass on to the sixth path of solar logoi via the Deva evolution, which they can enter via the fifth path. And on this sixth path of the solar logoi, the two evolutions can merge, and I've wondered about the merging. What about... What about this merging? Is it the same kind of merging which we find when solar petries merge to become planetary logoi? And we'll, okay, so turn that back. Will men and deva monads merge to become a solar logos? That's my question. All right, and then I speculated on how we can move from path to path. I may have missed some paths. It reminds one a little bit of the tarot, doesn't it? Where you can move from various points to various points via various paths. All right, so I think that should take us, yes, it does. This will be then the end of... Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, number 29A, and we are on Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, page 140. Not many to go here, just a few pages, and beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, number 30A, Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, page 140 in that compilation. Okay, friends, well, I knew it would go deep here, but at least this is the whole idea of vision in relation to these great sunflowers or solar logoi. I wonder what place they actually occupy, a kind of a second aspect place in general, regardless of what may be the ray of the particular solar logos. They are so connected with light, you know. The solar logoi are so connected with light that we are not surprised to see that those on path six must develop cosmic vision, and I suppose responsiveness to cosmic light. After all, the sun is in reality a great eye, and the symbolism has been with us for ages. The sun is called the eye of Jupiter, considering Jupiter the great god. So we cannot separate the idea of the sun from the eye, and hence cosmic vision is one of those cities which we will develop. And let's just say the plane of Buddhi is the plane of vision for man. Vision becomes a revelation on that plane. And thus it is on the cosmic planes for the grand heavenly man, the solar logos, and other solar logoi. All right, that ought to be enough, get us thinking, and now we'll be ready to enter a more difficult presentation of this subject, because he only presented so much in Initiation Human and Solar, and then when he got to the other, well, of course, he's very limited to what he can present, but you can imagine that it will be still more occult than what we have received so far. Okay, we'll see you when we get into number 30. All right, take care, and bye-bye.